Welcome to the Mental Training Lab. I'm Pete Kadushin, your host, and my job is to have fun conversations that leave you with actionable tools, little experiments that will help you improve your mindset and mental skills so that you can do the things you love at a higher level. Today's episode is about unpacking what is a well-meaning but ultimately bad piece of advice. It's advice that puts us in a no-win position where we are spending a ton of energy and attention on forcing our internal experience to fit into a narrow window of conditions. It's also advice that inadvertently tells us we can't expand that window to create more grace under fire and a sense of freedom within uncontrollable performance environments. And all of that is being shared with your best interest in mind. There's a common refrain that happens across high performance environments. Goes something like, don't get too high, don't get too low. Now, this lives in the same vein as advice like, act like you've been there before. And I think it sets up a really curious paradox when we take a closer look at these high performance environments. Specifically, one of the things that draws us to sport or to these performance environments is that both as participants and spectators, there's a certain amount of permission to be emotional, right? It's a setting where you can howl and shout in excitement. You can scream in frustration, and these displays of emotion that would be completely inappropriate in the line at Starbucks or sitting at a cubicle, right? They're an important piece of these high performance cultures. And yet there's this other current that goes along with all of that that says that letting our emotions out can be unproductive. It might even be dangerous, and that we should try and flatten both the highs and lows so that we can stay in a more robotic, more consistent, and also just a less intense middle ground. Now, I find this pretty curious, and I think it's worth investigating a bit more closely, which is why we're having this episode. And why would it be that we would want to avoid our emotions or be taught that we'd want to avoid our emotions? Well, first, emotions are uncontrollable. They arrive swiftly, they carry an enormous and energetic charge, and they influence our thinking mind in ways that make us irrational. We don't act like computers when emotion is a part of the equation. Second, I also think that there's a certain fear associated with the fact that many performers don't have a concrete and coherent set of steps to get them to their state of performance readiness, right? So this means that riding any sort of wave of emotion feels like a threat to their capacity to stay in that state of performance readiness and then perform their best. Put simply, if you don't know how to dial your energy and attention in on purpose to that sweet spot, anything that might influence your energy attention becomes something to be wary of. And lastly, I think this sentiment comes from the fact that on some level, we worry that if we celebrate our victories, whether they're big or small, that we'll get stuck and become complacent on the top of that hill with all the progress that we've made. And I think that this is where a lot of the self-critical self-talk originates, is the sense that, like, I can't be complacent, and right, that wasn't good enough. And on the other side of this coin, the same coin, is that we worry that if we allow for low emotions, primarily things like sadness and grief, that we're going to get stuck and become unable to climb out of that hole that we feel like we've slipped down into. All that's to say that we often have this sense that if we succumb, you know, air quotes around succumb, if we succumb to these emotions, that we're going to be hijacked in a way that's going to undercut our motivation. It's going to mess with our balance in the midst of challenge. And then we worry that we're never going to achieve our potential in the near or the long term. And when you frame it this way, it makes a ton of sense that we might be a bit or a lot avoidant of our emotions, not just in our performance lives, but our lives in general. But you notice that I started with how this is just bad advice. And so why is that? Well, first, emotion is the bridge between our body and our mind. Thoughts themselves don't carry any energetic charge. And what I'm talking about here is actual energy, right? Emotions help drive state shifts in our nervous system. So emotion is responsible for cranking us up so that we can get stuff done. And emotions are also responsible for cranking us back down, letting us relax so that we can rest and recover when it's time to do that as well. If you look closely enough, you'll notice that with every thought, there is some emotional energetic charge that's a piece of that. And so quite simply, energy is necessary for all action. And it means that we end up with a complete power outage if we flatten our emotional experience down to neutral. Bottom line, this means no progress and no success. And second, this ends up being bad advice because it invalidates the experience we're going to have. I already pointed out that emotions are uncontrollable. We're going to naturally respond to certain events with a rush of positive emotions, things like connecting with others, overcoming challenges, or doing something we care about deeply at a high level. That's all going to result in positive feeling tone and feelings like joy, excitement, or contentment. We also naturally respond to loss with grief or sadness, and we respond to infractions on our boundaries with anger. And telling yourself or someone else to not feel these emotions is going to result in feelings of guilt and shame. And again, it's inevitable that big feelings are going to arise. And so we don't want to put ourselves in a position where we're going to be stuck feeling them and then feeling like we've done something wrong when they show up. Lastly, if highs and lows are put in a position where they always feel like a threat to performance, then we're going to spend an immense amount of time, energy, and attention, right? Our three main resources. We're going to spend a ton of time and energy and attention trying to not feel what we're bound to have showing up during our performance experience, regardless of how hard we work. And if you've ever been in the middle of a big emotion and tried to tell yourself not to feel it, you know how this feels like trying to spit into a 30-foot wave that's about to crash over you. It's really an effort in futility. You know, so all of this knits together to create a pretty clear picture. Emotion is our source of energy. Emotion is also an undeniable part of our internal experience, and it's going to happen naturally, and it acts as the bridge between our body and our mind. And lastly, fighting emotion puts us in a position where we're going to waste a ton of our most valuable performance resources undermining our performance resources, right? We're spending energy and attention undermining the thing that's going to help direct our energy and attention. Wow, okay, that was a lot. And it's not enough for me to drop that kind of grenade on the status quo. I obviously need to follow up with what we'd want to be doing instead. I have a suspicion that what we're really looking for here is to not flatten the human experience. It's to be in sync with our human experience. And if we want to use the imagery of a roller coaster, we want to be in the car, strapped in securely, and moving in rhythm with the ride as we move through the highs and lows. If anybody's ever been on a roller coaster before, you know the terror of being stuck at the top of the roller coaster when the machine breaks down. What we really want is a way to be flowing with that performance. We want to be able to ride the waves of emotion, feeling the feels, whether they're good or not, and then letting them move through us, letting them energize us, and then continuing to anchor ourselves in the present moment, which is where performance is happening. So then going back to what I pointed out earlier, we worry about positive emotions because we think we might get stuck in complacency. And we worry about negative emotions because we have this underlying terror surrounding getting stuck in those negative and unpleasant emotions. And really, that's the key word here, is it's stuck. We're worried as performers, coaches, parents, and mentors that we or the people that we're working with are going to get stuck in those big emotions, which will disrupt not only performance, but our ability to live life. And since we don't usually have a map or a skill set for how to get unstuck and to flow with our emotional experience, we instead seek this illusion of control where we imagine we can turn down the intensity of our emotional experience and avoid those feelings of being outside of our comfort zone and not being able to know what to do about it. And so what do we do about it? Okay, well, the first and most important step here comes with building awareness of our emotional experience. There's going to be a couple of things that happen as we build awareness. The first is that we'll start to put together a language that's going to allow us to better understand our emotions. And it turns out we're less afraid of the things that we're able to understand. Second, it's going to show us that emotions themselves, just like the rest of our experience, is ever-changing. When you pay close enough attention to any emotion in the present moment, whether it's anger or joy or sadness or fear, you're going to find that it's alive and shifting and evolving as it moves through your body and ripples through your mind. Now, it's important to point out that it doesn't mean that the rain cloud of sadness might not camp out over you if you're experiencing a really big loss. And it's not to say that the joy of victory is just going to be a flash in the pan and that we need to then go chase the next high right away by skipping our time for recovery and then jumping right into the next race or the next challenge. What it is saying is that our direct experience of emotion, that is how they manifest in our body and our mind in the present moment, it's dynamic and ever-changing. And this aliveness is important because it shows very clearly that when we're stuck, it's demonstrating on some level that we're complicit in this stuckness. that we're doing something to continue to call that emotion forward. And so an example would be helpful. So let's say your teammate overreacted in the heat of the moment and said something nasty to you on the sideline. You're angry in that moment. This was a boundary crossing. They said something that wasn't really nice. But on the drive home after the game, you notice that you're not feeling the direct experience of anger. You're caught up in the music you're listening to, or you're thinking about some other aspect of the game. And then that absence of anger, that actually becomes the cue for you to remind yourself, hey, remember what that teammate did? And that fires the anger machine up all over again. And so what it's saying is that anger itself, the direct experience of, or sadness or joy, that these experiences end up being fairly transient. And we often go looking for where they've gone, which then brings them back to our direct experience. And again, if we're trying to move with our emotions, to ride those waves as opposed to get stuck in the highs and lows, right, it's useful to then see that aliveness and the ever-changingness so that we can stick with the evolving experience of our emotion instead of grasping to how it just was or how we think it should be. So how do we develop awareness? Well, I'm a big fan of five questions that I've borrowed from Jim Detmer, who is part of the Conscious Leadership Group. So when he was on the Tim Ferriss Show, he outlined five different questions for building this emotional awareness. So let's roll those out now. So the first question is, what am I feeling right now? And this question helps us put some language to the emotion. It helps us build some literacy. And so it's often easy to start with, it's easier to start with the big categories and then get more nuanced as you build that language of emotion. And the big buckets that I generally use for emotion are sadness, joy, surprise, anger, fear, and love. I'll say those again, sadness, joy, surprise, anger, fear, and love. And then if you identify an experience as joy, you could drill down into, is it excitement? Or is it contentment? And get a little more specific as you go. But starting with those big six is a great way to really start to explore your emotional experience. Once you've identified, put some language to what you're feeling, the next question is, where am I feeling it? And this question allows us to anchor those direct sensations in our body. Right? Where is the emotion being felt? And it helps us get out of our mind and into the present moment. When we're in the present moment and we're curious about where we're feeling these emotions, it amps up our curiosity, which in turn is a great antidote to judgment and shame. Question three is, what does it feel like? So we've asked, what am I feeling? Where am I feeling it? Now we're trying to get into the immediate and direct experience. And language like hot, cold, tingly, pressurized, pulsing, pinchy, busy, buzzy, dense, radiating, energized. All of these words end up helping us highlight the actual sensations that are associated with our somatic experience of that emotion in the moment. So then we come to question four, which is, can I stay with that feeling without judgment for just a little longer? And this question is really asking us to stretch our endurance a little bit. This is really about expanding your capacity for a wider range of internal experiences. And the downstream consequence of this is that it gives you the ability to stay poised under pressure in the long run. As you're experiencing things in your performance environment, especially big emotions, you're going to have the capacity to hold those big emotions and then use their energy towards performing as opposed to letting them overwhelm you. And it's important to point out that there are two pieces here. The first is that you can stay with the feeling, really the direct experience, right? We're trying to get you to be with that direct experience a little bit longer. And the second piece is that this only works if you can stick with curiosity and compassion rather than judgment, right? We're working towards gaining a sense of comfort and safety within big emotions, and it's simply not going to work if we're judging everything as we're experiencing it as good or bad. Now, an important caveat here, both physical and psychological safety are critical. And so if you're experiencing a feeling that is too much for you in the moment, please don't attempt to stay with it. Right? This is actually going to work against our long-term capacity to experience these bigger waves of emotion. And it's simply not kind to yourself in the short term, which is going to be counterproductive for performance, learning, growth, and recovery. How do you know? How can you balance this out? Well, on some level, your body and your mind have a sense of what's a little too much and then what's way too much. And really, we're looking for that sweet spot of just a little more challenging. Can I stay with it even if it's just like a microsecond longer? Right? But if you're in the middle of an experience, if you're out on the field or you're in the middle of a race and you have that sense of being overwhelmed, right now is not the time to be building the capacity. The time is right now is to be trying to execute and operate at the highest level. And so it really comes down to intentionality when we get with question four and that sense of, can I stay with this feeling just a little bit longer? And then that brings us to our last question. Question five is, what is the feeling here to share? And this last question is an opportunity to be curious and interested in the underlying source of the feeling. Often the storm of emotion, whether it's positive or negative, keeps our attention so captured and dizzied that we don't have an opportunity to see what's just hidden right below the surface. And by practicing these questions regularly and expanding our capacity for being present and feeling safe and secure within these big emotions, we can start to get a better understanding of what insight the feeling is here to share. Again, when we talk about emotion, it's useful to highlight that emotion is really what's driving us towards safety, security, success, and also then trying to protect us from failure and danger. And so getting a sense of what's underlying these emotions without being caught up in judgment and shame gives us an opportunity to facilitate healing and ease. And it also just, it makes us better athletes and happier human beings down the road. So there are our five questions. Number one, what am I feeling right now? Two, where am I feeling it? Three, what does it feel like, right? Down into our direct experience. Four, can I stay with that feeling without judgment for just a little longer? And then five, can I investigate what that feeling is here to share, right? In what direction is it pushing me and why might it be here to do that? Now, how does this process create the conditions to flow with our emotional experience, to ride these waves instead of getting stuck too high and too low? Well, the awareness we're generating here is coupled with a posture of acceptance and curiosity. Now, that posture of allowing frees us up from these conditioned habits of judgment, and that we're usually trapped in a constant cycle of judgment of this is good, this is bad, I like this, I hate that. And when we get caught and hooked by these things that we really like or dislike, we end up in a position where we're spending a lot of energy trying to hold on to the good and get rid of the bad. Now, this requires resources, energy, attention, and time, and sometimes it requires a lot of those resources. And the issue is when we're in the middle of learning, growing, performing, or recovering, right? We want to have those resources aimed at those outcomes instead of stuck trying to manage our emotional experience. So what? So the active suppression of our emotional experience is sucking the humanity out of your life and your performance. It costs a ton of energy to fight your direct experience and to keep things within acceptable limits. I'm air quoting again here. And we end up missing out on all this energetic juice of being able to ride the waves of positive and negative emotion. By building emotional awareness and a posture of acceptance, we begin to give our sensations and emotions a seat at the table as we're moving through the performance cycle. Now, this isn't to say that we're going to allow emotion to take over entirely and wipe away rational thought, but we allow them to be partners in a way that lets us use the good from both. Right? And then to allow them to move through us so that we don't get stuck and captured in a way that's unproductive. Right? This allows us to embrace those highs and lows of our human experience, and it also allows us to build an increased capacity and tolerance for those big experiences. So what's the net result? Well, the net result is more motivation, more vitality, and greater poise under pressure. Now, don't get me wrong. For all the reasons I outlined at the top of the show, this is hard, hard work. But it's also an area where you're going to gain a critical advantage on your competition if you're willing to do that hard work. It just so happens that if you're willing to do the hard work, you're also probably going to be happier and healthier along the way. Okay, that's a wrap. As always, thank you for offering up your most valuable resources, your time and attention, while you listen to this episode. You can find all the episodes of the Mental Training Lab at mtl.academy. That's mtl.academy. And look, I know this is the spot where I'm supposed to tell you to subscribe to the show or leave a review or whatever, but I'll be honest, I've only got one real request. If you found anything in this show helpful and you know someone who could benefit from these ideas or tools, just go ahead and send it their way. All right, that's all for now. I'll see you next episode.